Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew the ninth chapter. Again, we want to welcome back those who were able to go on the trip to Japan again to assist the individuals who are still struggling and recovering from the earthquake and tsunami there. And again, we want to continue our prayers for those who are in Albania. And of course, we have the upcoming trip to Mexico that's coming up later this year. Again, I'm so proud to be a part of a church that has a vision for world evangelism and for service, regardless of where people are with the need. And I thank you for your prayers and for your contributions, for your moral support as well. When you came in this morning, you should have received a half sheet of paper, something like this. Everyone will need one today. So if you don't have one, we have our men standing by. And raise your hand if you don't have one, and we'll make sure that you get one. I've got a few extras here myself, and they're coming around now. And by the way, when you finish this exam, we're going to turn it in at the end of the hour, okay? So everyone will need one, and you may be getting something to write with now, because you're going to need to write. So we'll be handing these in, and okay, one more. Okay, great. That might be two, but that's okay. Okay, anyone else? Okay, I think we see another hand here. Hold your hand up until you get one. What I want to do this morning is to begin a new series of studies that I want to carry out throughout the remainder of the summer. And this new series will be focusing on this theme of outreach, evangelism, expanding the kingdom of God. And this morning I want to begin by talking about this idea of learning to share our faith. How many of you are participating in the Bible class, the combined class on tactics? How many of you are attending that? Okay. I want to encourage you to attend that. We have had a great response so far. And the purpose of that class is to equip you to be able to share your faith, especially with individuals who perhaps may be in an attack mode. You know, our culture is growing more and more secular. And it's really on the attack when it comes to Christians, believers in Christ. And so we want to equip you to know what to do, to know what to say. When people say things like, well, you know, the Bible is written by men, it's really not the Word of God. Or, you know, Jesus is just a man, you know, he's a good teacher, but he wasn't the Son of God. I mean, what do you say? How do you respond in those circumstances? So we're trying to equip you then in terms of what to say. And so we want to talk about sharing our faith, and then let me give you an idea of some of the upcoming messages in this particular series. Next week, and as a matter of fact, the next 2 weeks, I want to talk about this question of what is our message? If indeed we are to be proclaimers of a message, if we are to be ambassadors who represent Christ, then it would make sense that we understand what we're supposed to say. So we want to spend a couple of weeks talking about and studying about what is our message. And then I want to address the question, why is it that we believe in Jesus? Jesus is the focus of our faith. That's what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But why do we believe in Him? When Jesus was on this earth, when He was ministering, that was the key question. Who is this man called Jesus? That still is the key question that we need to be able to answer in our own minds, but also in the minds of those who may question what we believe and how we're living. Then what we want to do is to make some observations about the most effective evangelist there really is. That was Jesus Himself. And we want to take a look at how Jesus Himself won people. We want to look at the story of Jesus and His encounter with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And there are some observations that we can make. How did Jesus reach out to people? How did He communicate with people? There are some principles then we can learn that will help us then as well. And then finally, I want to take the last 2 weeks in this series to look at this familiar story, this parable that Jesus tells about the farmer, the sower, who goes out to sow seed and to learn about the Word of God and what happens when it's planted in the hearts and the minds of men. So that's what's upcoming then in the next few weeks. Now, let me talk a little bit about what I hope this series will do. Overall, what I hope is that over these next few weeks that you will begin to share your faith with others. Over the next 7 weeks, that's the goal. Now, you may say, well, I'm already sharing my faith. Well, then, for you then, the goal becomes to become more active in doing that. Now, when we talk about sharing our faith, and again, it relates to that third aspect of our purpose. We just spent a few weeks talking about our purpose, our mission. You remember that? What is our mission? Let's say it together. It's to love God, love people, and help people love God. Well, in the third aspect of helping people love God, part of that then is bringing people to God. And so what I want to encourage you to do then, over these next few weeks and to develop as a lifelong habit, is first of all to be engaged in prayer. Now, let me call your attention to the handout that you have. If you would turn it to the side that talks about a measure of evangelistic activity. I have five questions there. And the first one relates to prayer. The question simply is, during the past week, for how many people did you pray to come to the Lord or come back to the Lord? And you have several options. You've got multiple choice. Is it none, one, two, or three or more? If you could just take a moment and check off one of those answers. And some of you are checking them off, and some of you are just sitting there looking at me doing nothing. So, because you're going to hand these in. Now, let me tell you why I'm doing this. What I want to do is to try to measure to see if these messages and what we're doing have any effect. And so what we're going to do is 7 weeks from now, we'll ask this question again. And then a year from now, we'll ask them again to see if there's any change. Okay? So this is sort of a baseline measurement. So, matter of fact, this is the one time in during these messages that you can be writing something and not writing exactly the notes from the message, okay? So I'm going to give you the whole sermon to fill this out. But if you would, we're going to collect these again at the end of the message. So the first goal then is to become a person of prayer when it comes to evangelism. We'll talk about that here shortly. And then the second goal is to help you to become regularly engaged in conversations with people that have a spiritual focus. You know, one of the best times to talk about God is on Monday. You know, if you work a Monday through Friday week and you come to work on Monday, what's the first question people ask you? What'd you do over the weekend? You know, we talk about, oh, I went to the ball game or went to the park or we did this or had family in town. Well, what about, I had a great time at church yesterday. Matter of fact, the sermon was outstanding, boy. Let me tell you about it. What about that as a response? So what we want to do is to help you to develop the habit and the practice of having spiritually centered conversations with people. The third thing we want to encourage you to learn to do is to invite people. You know, the average person in our country says, if someone invited me to come to a worship service, I would go. The average person. And so we encourage you to increase your involvement in inviting people. And of course, that's not just simply to our worship assemblies, but any opportunity that we have to gather together, whether it's at an M group, whether it's at a birthday party when Christians are gathering together, whether it's on a Sunday night at the dinners on the grounds, whatever opportunity there is for people to come in contact with you, the people of God, we want to encourage you to be actively involved in inviting. Now, some of you are, I see some of you are still writing, so go ahead and write, because that's the third question there. Third question, second question, how many people did you invite to attend today's worship assembly or another church-sponsored event? The third question is, how many non-members did you have a spiritually related conversation? And then the third objective is for you to begin the practice of referring someone with whom to study the Bible. In other words, you know, I know someone who can answer that question, and let me see if I can get you two together that you can study God's Word. You know, I might not be able to do it myself, but I'm going to refer you. And then, of course, the fifth objective then is for you to become equipped to open the Bible and share the Word of God with someone. All right, so that's that particular list of questions. Now, if you turn it on the back side, great, I heard the pages turning. On the back side, here what we would like for you to do is to list at least five people. At least five. And these are individuals that we say that you would like to see come to the Lord or come back to the Lord. Now, what we're intending here is that they would be individuals that we can contact here geographically. Now, I know you know, you may have a family member across the country or that kind of thing. Well, they would be numbers 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We're interested in those who are here locally and geographically. So it may be a son, daughter, parent, co-worker, neighbor, friend. If you would list their name and also list your relationship to them. And again, what we're going to do is turn these in. We're going to be starting to pray for these individuals. And we'd also like for you to put your name so that if we have a question about someone, then we can contact you. And we're going to keep track over the next several weeks and months to see what the Lord does in the hearts of these individuals that you mentioned here. Now, here's another goal that I didn't put up here. But let me ask you something. If you were to list five people here, do you believe that within 5 years that you can be responsible for bringing one of them to Christ? 5 years. Just one. I think that's a reasonable goal. And guess what? What if that happened? What if every single person in here brought one of these individuals to Christ and was responsible for helping them to get on the path of spiritual growth? You know what that would do to this church? It'd double in numbers within 5 years. So we want you to list the names. Are you listing names? Make sure you put your name on there. If you can print, that'd be great. And put your name on here. And also, if you can put your phone number, that way we can contact you. Now, we're going to be collecting these here shortly. So if you could be working on those. Let me share with you then some of the other thoughts that I want to talk about this morning. Now, I don't know whether you know it or not, but most churches, and this is churches of any brand, any kind, most churches are not evangelistic. Most churches in our country, I'm talking about the United States, most churches are not evangelistic. Most churches are not growing. Most churches are so burdened down with internal problems that they are distracted from doing one of the main things that God has called us to do, and that's to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Most churches are not growing. Now, I want to share with you a very powerful story that I heard some time ago that illustrates this particular principle. It's a story of the life-saving station. Listen to this. On a dangerous sea coast where shipwrecks often occur, there was once a crude little life-saving station. The building was just a hut, and there was only one boat, and a few devoted members kept a constant watch over the sea. With no thought for their own safety, they went out day and night, tirelessly rescuing the lost. Many lives were saved by this wonderful little life-saving station. And so, it became famous. Some of those who were saved and various others in the surrounding area wanted to become associated with the station, give of their time and money and effort to the support of this work. And so new boats were bought and crews were trained, and the little life-saving station grew. Some of the members of the life-saving station were unhappy that the building was so crude and poorly equipped. They felt a more comfortable place should be provided as the first refuge of those saved from the sea. And so they replaced the emergency cots and beds and put better furniture in the large building. Now, the life-saving station became a popular gathering place for its members, and they decorated it beautifully and furnished it exquisitely because they used it as sort of a club. Fewer members were now interested in going to sea on life-saving missions, and so they hired lifeboat crews to do the work. The life-saving motif still prevailed in the club's decorations, and there was a liturgical lifeboat in the room where the club initiations were held. But about this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crews brought in loads of cold, wet, half-drowned people. They were dirty and sick, and the beautiful new club was considered to be messed up. And so the property committee immediately had a shower house built outside the club where the victims of the shipwrecks could be cleaned up before coming inside. At the next meeting, there was a split in the club membership, and most of the members wanted to stop the life-saving activity altogether because they were a hindrance and unpleasant to the normal social life of the club. Some club members insisted on life-saving as their primary purpose and pointed out that they were still a life-saving station after all. They were finally voted down, and they were told that if they wanted to save lives of various kinds of people shipwrecked in those waters, that they could begin their own life-saving station down the coast, which they did. As the years went by, the new station experienced the same changes that occurred in the old. It evolved into a club, and another life-saving station was founded. History continued to repeat itself. And if you visit that coast today, you'll find a number of exclusive clubs along the shore. Shipwrecks are still frequent, but most of the people drown. Now, that little parable is obviously a parable of the church, isn't it? But we are called to be a life-saving station. But so many times, we become simply a social club, and people still continue to be lost, and we go about our business day by day and week by week. Well, what can we do to carry out the task of sharing the Word of God with others? This text in Matthew chapter 9 suggests some key principles. And let's look at that. Matthew 9, beginning at verse 35 and concluding at verse 38. Here the Bible says that Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Well, here in this text, in verse 35, Matthew summarizes the activities of Jesus' ministry. He says that Jesus went through all the towns and villages. One of the things that we recognize about Jesus is that Jesus was always on the move. And Jesus had a tendency to go to people as opposed to standing back and waiting for people to come to him. His first activity was to go to them. Then he became popular and people began to follow. Matthew says he went about teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness. What was he doing? Teaching, instructing people. What was he doing? He was preaching, proclaiming the truth. What was he doing? He was healing people. Jesus had what you might call a show and tell ministry. But he showed people the love of God, and he told them about the truth of God. It says that when he did that, now this next portion is key. Look at verse 36. It says that when he saw the crowds, what's the next phrase? He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The scripture says that he had compassion on them. You remember we talked about the story of the Good Samaritan a few weeks ago. And if you remember that story recorded in Luke chapter 10, when the man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among thieves and he was beaten and he was robbed and he was cast down, left on the road, half dead. Both a priest and a Levite, they saw the man, but they passed by on the other side. The scripture says that a Samaritan came, he saw the man, the Bible says, and he had compassion on him. What's compassion? The word has to do with our gut, our intestines. Because what happens when you're going through a time emotionally, you're experiencing something, grief or sorrow or pain, you feel it down here. Compassion is a feeling of pity that leads a person to do something about the condition of the individual. Jesus describes the people. It says that they were harassed. And when it discusses the idea that they were harassed, it means that they were distressed. They were seriously and severely troubled. They were battered and bruised and worn out and exhausted. Not only were they harassed, the Bible says that they were helpless. They were downcast. And this idea of being downcast is what it sounds like. It means like somebody's thrown you on the ground. And you're thrown on the ground because you've fallen down because you received some kind of life-threatening wound. You can't even stand up because of it. He described them, they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were helpless. No one to care for them. No one to bind up their wounds. No one to pick them up, carry them on their shoulders, and nurture them back to health and healing. Now, when I think about that description of these people, I think about our world and our society. That when we think about the people that we live with, and even under our old household, our family members, and people that we pass on the street, and in the store, and in the gas station, these are people who are harassed. They're helpless. They're like sheep without a shepherd. The question is, do we feel anything when we see them? The Bible says Jesus had compassion on them. And in order for us to become an evangelistic church, that's the requirement. We will not share our faith with people until we are compassionate toward people. Until we learn to see people as they are. They're helpless without the Lord. They're harassed without the Lord. They're without a shepherd without him. We must learn to see them that way. We must feel it in our gut. And finally, in verses 37 and 38... Jesus makes both a statement of truth and then he gives a word of instruction. What's the statement of truth? He says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And I've read several interpretations of the harvest, but the one I like the best is the idea that the harvest represents those people who are ready to receive the truth. People who are open to accept what we have to offer. People who will be facing eternity, who will be giving account of their lives to God. And if we were to share our faith with them, they would respond. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful. There are people who will respond to you when you share your faith. But he says the workers are few. Well, what's the word of instruction? Verse 38. What should you do? Well, therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. Guess what? When you say that prayer, you're actually praying for yourself. You're praying that God will give you the strength and the courage and the encouragement to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Well, are you finished with these? Okay. I'd like for you to do is to hand them in. Just pass them in one direction or the other. Doesn't matter. You can pass yours this way. We have some men that are standing by. They're going to collect these right now. Now, for some reason you didn't do this, you felt you needed to take it home, all right. Well, you have until next week to bring it back if that's what you decide to do, or bring it back tonight. But if you can pass them in, we're going to collect these. I'm going to go through every single one of them. And we're going to start praying for these individuals this week. Well, how can we conclude today? First of all, we're here to worship God. And the praise this morning is that we serve a God of compassion. We serve a God who knows exactly where you are in life. He knows exactly the pain that you're going through, the trouble and the trials that you're experiencing, and God feeds it right here. We can praise the Lord because he has moved in. He's done something about our condition. The challenge for you this morning is to learn to do that. Is to have the same compassion for others that God has for you. And to pray, not only for the individuals that we've thought about this morning, but to pray for yourself that the Lord will give you the courage to respond. And one way to respond is with the Word of God, the Gospel of Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much indeed today. We praise you that you indeed are God of compassion. And Father, we thank you that the greatest way that you responded to our greatest need is by sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary. And Father, we know that you've done that you'll do everything because you love us. And Lord, help us to become people of compassion, to see others in their true need and respond and to pray for those. And we want to pray for those that we've thought about this morning, that you'll give us an opportunity to share your love with them. We pray this through the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. If you're not a Christian this morning, we encourage you to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ through faith, repentance, and confession and baptism. Or if you have a need for prayer or encouragement, our shepherds are in the foyer waiting to respond to your need. Let's together stand at this time and sing the song that's selected.